at this late stage of the Congress. My friend Rudy, I'm very happy to present my friend Rudy. Some of you might have seen him on the stage like this one before. I met him at a talk that contained the name of an animal. Some of you might remember that name. They were called Longhorn. Anyone remember Longhorns? Rudy held a talk at a camp, and years later, Microsoft discontinued the product. Thank you, Rudy. Unfortunately, they turned it into Vista, so it didn't really win. Those of you who don't know... Rüdiger Weiss. This is not part of the talk, by the way. Rüdiger Weiss, professor for cryptography. What else should I say? Just great presenter. I'm going to leave the stage. Thank you. And as my friend Marcus Beckedar told me, good morning. It always fits, good morning. And you've been told that it's a long story, and I couldn't help but grin to see that I seem to be stuck in a time loop in some parts. Very importantly, a large part of the crypto disasters that we have right now are crypto zombies that have been around for 20 years. And finally, Microsoft has been replacing them. Unfortunately, this is not just a friendly encouragement. Also, do we have a Windows 10 botnet, or is it a gated community? Does Microsoft simply want to create its own ecosystem? The answer is yes, but also, well, as a computer scientist, a botnet is a computer network where a third party can execute arbitrary code on my system. These are exactly the end user license agreements that Microsoft is putting into its products right now. And people always thought I was joking when I was saying, yes, you can't prevent the updates, but you can delay them. And people were looking at me in a funny way. But I was when I said that it costs quite a bit of money if you want to avoid using untested updates. And people told me I shouldn't exaggerate. And that's the impression that I get as well, because when you look at the license terms, especially those of the test version, where Microsoft is trying to make sure it gets just about all rights imaginable, excluding maybe your firstborn child, it's a bit disconcerting. And persisting as I am, persisting as the CT, my favorite magazine is, there's a cover story that tells you how you can prevent updates. So it's not a necessary update, but it's one that you're trying to be that Microsoft is trying to force you into. And it's so annoying that there are customer protection agencies that are trying to that are targeting this. And at a certain age, you might start to get a bit suspicious when people say, here, take this, and you don't want it, but they persist. So my experience has made me a bit suspicious when people come at me with that kind of marketing measures, but apparently Microsoft decided this is a good approach. And to put it simply, as we used to discuss if some security problems might be abused by Microsoft, we now have a confirmation, because Microsoft removes the control over your own hardware and software. And if you remember that trusted computing thing, that you might remember from ages ago. They're using that now to change their system and to change the opinion of the security. Your opinion of the security of the system. And I want to understand these problems. And I understand that Microsoft says we patched it better than the average user. That's definitely something you could discuss. But as always, it's always... It's always a tricky situation when people are forced into their luck. So... I read that article in the magazine I just talked about. I was wondering if I should maybe turn it into text adventure to make it more understandable. It's simply not a way that you're supposed to treat your customers. But let's backtrack a bit in web history. 2002, we had a debate on trusted computing on the trusted computing chip. That has become a central, crucial point of Windows 10. This is Ron Rivers, the R in RSA, wrote that the right way to look at this is you are putting a virtual set-top box inside your PC. So you're turning your computer into a set-top box. It's no longer your computer. It's more like a computer that you leased from Microsoft, and it's essentially the normal software as a service model, and you can accept all of this, and that's all well and good, but it becomes less nice when you force people into it, and we're hackers, so what's happening here? We're handing all our security to Microsoft, but the question is, can we do that? And at the last few congresses, I spent a large part of my slides on Microsoft security problems, many of which I quoted from the Heiser security tickers to make them fairly objective. And even today, they're still taking a large part of my slides, so I can show you current problems that come from long ago. This crypto zombie problem is that we're still using ancient algorithms like SHA-1 or... Well, we're now at a congress where many people are born in an age where the crypto wars were essentially over. But we keep saying that if we weaken our systems, it does not only weaken the current system, but also all future system, because this problem of backwards compatibility is how many attacks works, was what enables many attacks. And please allow me to speak about another gator community, namely Apple, who thought it would be a good idea to block an app that was coded, that was made in the environment of CCC because it contained objectionable content. As a hacker, I always like objectionable content, and it was essentially crypto hacking, and well, it gives me this feeling that I'm trapped in a time loop. And this was a talk from 1999, and Apple used this to censor an app from the App Store. And if I look at Microsoft, Apple's track records with censorship, I'm getting seriously worried. And I'm not using this just to be able to show you these pictures of a younger me. We had nothing back in the day. All we had was we could only write our maths on a flipboard in horrible English. But this talk was watched before by 280 people in the past 15 years until Apple got upset. The T-shirt is fun as well. I liked it back in the day, but well, nobody really worried about it. But 15 years later, the biggest American company makes a fool of itself. Besides taking this opportunity to show you pictures of a younger me, it's something you have to talk about. Apple censors harmless mathematicians who make scientific talks because apparently it's objectionable. This is simply something that makes you scratch your head. And Apple was never very happy about export restrictions, which shows us that censors are just in a bad zone. As soon as we start censoring something, whether it is for religious reasons, like the Green Party in Berlin-Kreuzberg, who think that their taste is everybody's taste, you're in a downward spiral that can't be stopped. And these people who censor things shouldn't be surprised if the hacker community is laughing at them.
However, back to the technology. So the freak attack has been just a rollback to the old security problems, and Microsoft has discovered it quickly and decided, hey, it's updated, it's a bit hard, but we'll try a workaround that secures the system. And what happened? Well, it was downloaded, just nothing worked anymore. After downloading it, no further updates could be installed correctly, and that was on the 7th. On the 13th, it became less and less funny. Microsoft decided once they remove old cryptography, they just throw out SHA-1 in the same time. After 20 years, it's a good decision. However, at this here they read it wrong. They changed the Linux dual boot configuration, and the systems that ran proper Linux systems were destroyed by the parallel installation of Windows. It just didn't boot. And I want to mention that if we think that all our Linux systems are changed Windows system computers, and we want to use this control Linux systems or the control system that once a Windows admin decided, oh, I just want to make the system more secure, the Linux installation is broken. That's really can make us really angry. And we noticed that Microsoft doesn't look at the thing at all. Another stupid thing is that the people weren't able to change anything in the update without destroying their BIOS settings. And that makes us really afraid. We love to create, and usually that just doesn't work anymore. That sounds good, but it is not good if we notice that we make many mistakes that don't have to be asked politically, but they're just because of wrong decisions. And one really strange thing was situation was when shortly before I made the camp presentation, I was at a Black Hat conference. They presented that it is possible to force updates from different person, and then there was this my favorite slide. Can you remember what that is? Do you know what that is? We should remember that name. It's quite clear. So, nobody of you knows that. A small hint. We might have to reboot the system for it to be there, but you shouldn't ignore it, but Microsoft says update type is important, and we're a bit confused about it, so I won't be that unfair. It's so unfair that Microsoft doesn't know what to do. It's really interesting. And said something where I like stupid jokes. If we have more information, we can always call the U.S. government. And if we trust them, we can also call the educationalist part. And if we really think it's strange and we want to call, if we want to have help, who do we call? Well, the US military, of course. So those are the few words that are on the wrong place. Well, there are 2.5 super jokes. I'll have another slide of bad jokes about that, and then I'll say why that isn't funny at all. First of all, the usual joke, every time I make this slide, I get a warning in my LaTeX program. So, just enough joke, what does that mean? If Microsoft has an update with a completely broken name, that means that no human has looked at it, because every human would have said, that's a really strange name, are you really, really sure? No electronical person has looked at it, because even the electronical would have given a warning. Nobody also had noticed, oh, that's an URL string. Let's see whether these URLs are written correctly. So let's forget all the funny jokes. We have a situation where Microsoft has made no explanations about it. There are no explanations. Heise said that they wanted to ask, they didn't answer. I have since then learned. It's a saying by by some high German political part of the answer would make the population uneasy. I think, yeah, that some of the information might make the part of the people uneasy, and I would know that I wouldn't have to change them in December. However, what could happen to change after all those funny things, like this random strings, that I will have to add another slide? Well, I've already assumed, it sounds a bit arrogant, but these we cryptographs, like, we help people. We say, hey, you can ask what do we need so that we can help you. Do you need some secret that you can differentiate you from an attacker? We'll try to make it shorter, but please do take care of those secrets. We'll take care of everything else. However, if Microsoft goes ahead and signs and publishes or passes on a secret signing key of the Xbox Live system, that was one of the few situations where I was happy, was that because that is one of the few signs that things like that, just dangerous things, only happen by mistake. So I'll hang out of the window so that if I'm here next year, I will probably have problems to get even worse than that, because what can you do worse than leak a key that can create a system by Xbox computers? They're just the things that do infrared on all the apartment, so they don't only know what we read, but they also know what they do under the covers. So, oh, they know that. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe people should think about what to do about it, but just put it on there with a sign significant from Xbox Live, possible to put another software on it to you may trust. And then next sad thing, all these funny things about Microsoft, the funny jokes about Microsoft update problems are not at all funny, because that means all the quality control of Microsoft is absolutely failed. I've sat down with enough intelligent informatics technicians that see it right, how to write tests, that all of that slides through. So if there's a human that sees an update with that name, he will notice that. Every script you can imagine that has tests all these things, that means all these funny jokes we laughed about are really not funny if you have systems that are important. And I want to say, even if we don't have any Windows except of Xbox, we know that in the Fire Brigade systems, they are still Windows boxes, probably Windows XP boxes even. But that's a system that's internal, which I'm not going to put on the subject list on in Hamburg. Microsoft is not... apparently can't do that. They don't have the update system under control. And can we save the system? And that's the second critical point. Microsoft does, since Windows 8, Microsoft Trusted Computing Module, so they require the Trusted Computing Module, and they have a switch-off key. And they say that we can, instead of the Microsoft security key, it's our architecture, and we have our own architecture. Was in a part of Windows 8 to boot without Microsoft system. However, that was removed from the Microsoft requirements. And among Windows 10, the systems cannot be, many systems cannot be switched off. They tried that with Windows 8, but we have the situation, and I really have to criticize Heise it the first time here. Heise said that we don't have to be confused, that we have problems because all the Linux systems have signed keys, signed boot parameters. However, there's a problem. Microsoft signs a Windows bootloader, and then the Windows systems boot. Can Microsoft call back the key? Yes. Has Microsoft deactivated stuff? Yes. Has Microsoft done stuff with deactivated stuff without proper reasoning? Yeah, that's one bad part. The second bad part is that that's all right that Microsoft, Microsoft is a great company. It's one of the biggest spend much money for the Linux kernel. Also, want to be active. Signs certain distributions, but only signs that which is, that is given to them. And it's not about old and exotic software, however, but all the development system of controls of free software. We don't have to sign every case, every step signed. There will be successful open source software, however, the real development that everybody can work towards it is real problem has a real problem if we have to have if every change signed by Microsoft another these combination they don't have it on it they don't let us repair it they destroy our boot parameters and that is something even though I've decided to work quite well with Microsoft it's something I'm not willing to accept at all and I've with a smile I saw that they have angered the some people from Baden-Württemberg who care about the rights of users. So back to 2003, this Microsoft decision towards market domination.
To a lockout, so you will be locked out of your own system, in fact, and we don't really own our computers anymore. And it's... yeah, it's a thing that with the inventor of the public key crypto has said, well, it's just a requirement that we have under control our own keys on our own devices. But there's something positive to say. Some US companies like Apple have addressed these problems that from end-to-end encryption, this is the right description, and here we have the opposite thing. To repeat, this is not something abstract. Microsoft has done this several times. Microsoft has several times has deactivated systems without reasoning. Maybe last time they wanted to, they gave out the reasoning. My hair came grayer and grayer because we were not sure if they really gave out it and so on. So I repeat, the problem is Microsoft is changing its strategy. Windows is a service now. We only get money by looking at your data. So this is now a problem. If there's really technical errors in this segment, then Microsoft could come back with the ideas if this is not a problem anymore. One more historical slide. In this TPM module, we have a secret key which we cannot access. So who can access this private key? Hopefully nobody. But if these keys, these keys are generated outside the TPM and then written into it. So somebody has a might have a copy of it, and then he has a general key which works every day. This is of course interesting for the NSA, etc. So this is a historical slide, but the reality has taken it in. So I could have removed this slide, but yes, once again, the manufacturers of these things are usually not in the US, but in China. So when I cannot really trust a democracy like America, then have even greater worry about an authoritarian state. So here it cannot be possible that we have an infrastructure where somebody who can simply file has a key to everything. So, last things, all these things that we said, UEFI backdoors below the virus scanners, hard software, etc. The answer, if something is broken by UEFI, what can we do? Then can throw away the hardware and there's nothing else we can do. That's somebody of a really good company who said this, which worries me when people in high positions in industry have an anglicized meaning like we in the hacker community. So, Lenovo is based in Peking, and I'm really sure that they are not affiliated with the government.
We had a Dell backdoor that, it didn't really work with the Microsoft strategy of let's publish our private keys, maybe somebody else can use it. It's scary. And the only thing that pleased me as a cryptographer was the Juniper backdoor. Because you may remember, I showed you an elliptic curve generator last year and said that there's a backdoor in there. And we cryptographers warned people, just a few days after these things came up, and said, there's an open door here, don't use it. But people, companies, of course, use it. Look at Juniper. But the nice thing is, a backdoor in an elliptic curve there is just a few bytes. And somebody took these bytes that were an NSA vector and threw them away and replaced them with its own vector. So you have a gate to Fort Knox and remove it and put your own gate in place. Now it's really scary though. This problem is, it's obvious when we outsource all our IT to Microsoft and say they provide updates, they know what we need to do. This means that if we have, we can't really put pressure on Microsoft there. And this is something that's rather unpleasing. This is my last slide. That's only cut and pasted for a small part. The federal government said quite clearly that if you want to build a secure environment, yes, you can do that, but the people have to be able to make their own decision if they want to enter that closed system, and they need an opportunity to get out of that closed system again. That's been in there for a while. Now we have the problem that when we use things, we should use up-to-date cryptography. But Microsoft 3.SHA, many companies 3.SHA-1, but these hooks still exist. We need cryptography that protects privacy, like perfect forward secrecy. And all these things have been in the standard for a while. We need international certification of the TPM production. Just to say it again, I'm a company of that makes TPM. I have a master key for everything, so I can access all the systems. That can't be right. And you attract a nasty crowd if you have that. So it's a way for companies to protect themselves if they open up their system, if they open up their certification and booting code for relevant software for Windows 10 and 8. And we also need to check for monopolies, because Microsoft is no longer the dominant company. As Elmer just said, we looked at some of the old Windows talks. They used to have 90% market share, and that's no longer the case in some areas. And yet the normal hardware that people use in their personal computers is still still runs Windows for the most part. I mean, there's the Applewood, but that's another subject. But most personal computers are still Windows, are still running Windows. And finally, I'm going to say some nice things about the German telecom and weirder still, T-Systems and Microsoft. There was a small article that some of you might not even have noticed that Microsoft and T-Systems would had sketched out how a German cloud might look. And I'm always a bit skeptical of these weird national cloud propositions. But this is interesting for some companies. I mean, they can say, we have a server in Germany. This is not sufficient according to the current regulations, because companies that are based in the United States, they might be forced to abduct their data to the United States. This won't lead us to world peace, but it means that companies have legal certainty that they'll only be in trouble if they run counter to German law, and that other countries' secret agencies won't be able to read everything they write. And this legal security is being opened up to private consumers as well, or at least I hope so. I think this is a reasonable expectation. I mean, that you have these things from the real world, where you have legal recourse, should be available in the digital world as well. And I hope that the EU stance on safe harbors is going to lead to change here. So let's make sure that the privacy standards we fought for survive Microsoft's corporate policy. Thank you very much for your attention.